is from May 6, 2022, and the time is 8:05 a.m. And Benny Davis, Commander of the Washington State Capitol in June. Members of House Education Committee are co-chair Representative Andy Sherry, Representative Mike Brown is on teams, Representative Ron Gunn is in the room, Representative Robert Hopkins is also on teams, Rep. Cox has just arrived, and we expect Representative Sikorsky and myself, co-chair Representative Harriet Brown. We have more than a quorum to conduct business. Before we begin, I'd like to remind everyone to please silence their cell phones. Today, our reporting secretary is working remotely as Lori Mulder. And finally, I'd like to draw a line on my assistant with technical conference support. Thank you both. Today, we have just one item on the agenda. Senator Barry Stevens has started the third for state tribal education compact schools. Please come forward.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you for having this hearing. I have Gary Stevens, the state senator, with the state. This is not a recommendation bill, as it's a conservative commission funding compromise and tribal school board assembly. One thing that is the tribal compacting is a process through which the state and our city is part of the agreement that formally recognizes the college's ability to operate and oversee their own K-12 schools. It's going to come upon questions on the first of them. And currently, the hearings have the rules to have both the legislators, measures, and the answer committees, and the mayor. There are a number of conditions, and the first recording today really reflects the compromise that I was telling you about giving out. Recognize tribes in our state, local school districts, and our state board ministries, and our state department. The hurting will not apply, that's what we're going to give them time to negotiate to figure out what the state tribal education plan might look like. There's a group item, there's a different all sorts of tools that became clear that we really need to step back and let those who are involved to negotiate that. So, what we expect, I believe, is that the process is to be made right away. There'll be a formal proposal on how exactly this model would be drawn out and work, and that will be introduced to the legislature, I believe, sometime in the next few years. But this big thing is purpose. The state tribal education compacting is a great opportunity, I believe, to move the Alaskan indigenous history and structure, its language, and put that into our curriculum for these schools. It's not just for our communities, of course, but also for all the students in our state. So, again, this bill represents a compromise and human kind of down the world. So, thank you for hearing.
Thank you, Madam Chair. To my good staff, Senator Stevens, I'm just going to help if you want to walk through the bill itself. And we're happy. It reads fairly plainly, and otherwise, I'm happy to turn it over to Ms. Kagan.
I think that I appreciate the introduction to how the bill lands out here and how we think it's going to work and how we want to work.
Right. So, this bill's going through a few iterations. We started off with a fairly so that's a complex approach that was modeled after the state of Washington's use of charter schools, particularly in the tribal state-tribal combat education combat. As we entered into those conversations, we realized it's not complex of the model we were talking about. And so we decided to step back from that. And what you see now before you in summary is the bill that's been prepared way now from actually creating creating an actual compact to extend the line that our federally recognized tribes in our state and our state's school board takes entitled to negotiate with themselves and to develop a model to come back to the legislature at a later time to then have that legislation debated, discussed, and really enacted. So, you have here before you should be Dr. Moyle, who did notes, the timeline for perhaps a couple of times trying to understand to better resolution to decide which one is those that will participate. Established at the term of the compact for the NXT 5 years in a region, nor that the commission would start with one more than 5 schools. This has been my annual select on the budget agenda this year, yet those tried to express their interest formally to identify as the parties in the negotiation of the site. By in March of 2023, the board, state board and the consult with local school boards. In addition to the tribes, the board also included a conversation with the bargaining and school boards that would be among those 5 schools that are interested in contacting. Since the NBA is in January 31st, 2024, the deadline for the school board to file a report to the legislature identifying those 5 schools and to have proposed legislation introduced modeling that formal contact. School board is consistent with the system between a board and the state board of education. Section 2 is a conditional for the disorder as a support to make sure that whatever work is done would be enacted by June 30th of 2026, and that the next subject to use and be effective. This is how we would do ourselves in the
future. Thank you, Mr. Hagen. Doesn't sound like the school or even 5 schools would be operational much before July 1st of 2026. Am I reading this correctly?
I'm not sure that is correct. These figures and dates have been negotiated. We want to be very deliberate and very careful as we approach this contact and this response. There is a demonstration prior to getting into that. Don't want to rush this in any way. Because it's a really transformative, transformational change that we're talking about here potentially.
And should we entertain questions from the first over here? Our expert guest, do you want to answer questions? Right now?
Yeah, I think we can do it. I have a question. In the state of North Texas, it's working 16 studies. Specified that any SDEC school will be considered a school district. Is this going to be a school district inside a school district?
The chair would have that is a cat on the cookie. I don't think that that's necessarily the case. It probably be the case, but that's something that's going to certainly be talked about in the future.
Chair, I was curious about the deadline being so far at the beginning by the 31st of 2020 that you have to express your interest. I would think, and again, there's probably been lots of talk and given that the districts already know what's coming forward, but I would think as more knowledge gets out and things like that window of opportunity, my launch would be expand its for interested. So I'm just wondering how that beginning first step update came about.
That was the contact when it came about, I think perhaps the last meeting before the university body, again, we went through with our federally recognized tribes just to try to get this started.
Serving as the president of the House Declaration of Merits. calling in from the Anchorage, Alaska today. I want to thank the committee for having been on the agenda from the beginning and also inviting us to testify. It supports this bill and urges its swift passage. We confirm that this is a demonstration effort. There's a whole lot of questions that will come up as we go through the process on that, and that is what we put together to answer and bring back to the legislature when we have the pieces to the puzzle of the project and how it falls forward. On the question of whether or not we need more time and more folks to be able to indicate interest, we are guided by how contracting started at the very beginning of things. It first started with the federal law that said 10 tribes across the nation could be part of the demonstration project on compacting. And Clinton had a central council based there in Chairman Southeast was the one tribe from Alaska that participated in the demonstration project. The next year they opened it up to 10 more tribes that wanted to participate in the demonstration project. So our expectation is where we start out with five in the first thing, that we will report to the legislature very quickly as we see things develop in interest of others or the need to expand or move deadlines on that. So what we very much see this is big faith discussions between the federally recognized tribes and the state of Alaska, the commissioner, the state board of education, and the legislature. And so as questions that identified that need further clarification, that we see things that need to be updated or changed in statutes, we would anticipate bringing this forward to you in a very timely manner. So we don't at this point see that there's any problem with those initial deadlines, but if we do, we would certainly bring that forward to you. I want to tell you what the real strong benefit of passing this and getting this done in this legislature does for the SOAP project. If you think in terms of education in the state for Alaska Native children, we also have a federal trust responsibility from the federal government and a long body of federal law that deals with that federal trust responsibility. And we are trying to follow the federal government stick to the fire on education and not let the federal government walk away from our children, our educational needs, whether or not they're facility needs, whether or not they're access to technology, whether or not it's curriculum, it's teacher preparation, but support. By the legislature passing this, it sends a very important signal to the Department of Education and the federal government that the state of Alaska wants to work with our federally recognized tribes to see as we come out of this pandemic that we might be able to do some things different, that we might be able to improve things, but that we're working hand in hand with the state. This is not an adversarial negotiation. It's not an adversarial budget type thing. But how can we reset these relationships, work together, find that common ground, do things to improve things for our children coming out of this pandemic? We all know that there's a whole lot of change going on, just in technology, the expansion of broadband, ability to use that technology in the education space and need to develop more types of curriculum that are visible using that technology. There's a whole wide open area of things to improve things in education, and we want to work with the state closely to see what we can capture. We anticipate that some of the benefits of these negotiations will benefit other schools that will never go into contact and will never interest, but they will still generate great benefits that they can adopt and use in their classes. Part of the reason why it's so important to send this message on the federal side is, again, the historic levels of federal funding that's going into infrastructure, the historic levels that have been put in that are adjusting all kinds of ways that the federal government is doing in Alaska and across the nation. And we want to make sure that the educational needs of our children, our schools, our teachers, our principals, our superintendents, people aren't left behind. One of the things that we did in testifying to the Senate Union Affairs Committee on a specific project is we testified of the need to remove a federal rider that prohibits federal funding facilities running into the rural areas. But that was put in place at a time when the permanent fund was building up in resources and the ability to help us address streams of revenue was not politically sustainable. And it doesn't in any sense now have a prohibition against other resources for our facilities, especially with these historic levels of infrastructure funding. We need to remove those type of things. So we feel that this passage of this bill quickly sends an important signal that the native community and the state want to work together to improve things. And we also hope the federal government speaks on that they may live up to their responsibilities and not only make resources available, but also support the efforts of the state of Alaska trying to do education. So we see this far-reaching positive win-win things. It's an important working together with the state signal. I don't have all the answers. We don't have the answers. That's why we're not asking to turn the education system upside down. Those give us a chance to talk with the state and talk with our schools and tribes on that to see if we can improve things on that. And we'll come back with you if we think that there's any statutory changes that need to occur or if there's plenty of flexibility the way it is. But we also want to let you know we just raised with our Open Convention Committee this week our convention, which is the third week in October, and they agreed to have a major component of our convention on this education effort in what's going on. And we see that as a wonderful opportunity to raise the importance of education and innovation and what people are doing, exciting things to build bridges all across the state. So we're very excited about the momentum for this building. Unfortunately, I don't have answers to many of the questions. That is why it's a phase one and a phase two. And we greatly thank Senator Stevens for his leadership on this because it's just not out of the way. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ms. Kendall. I can't tell you personally how delighted I am to hear you talk specifically about the facility needs and holding the feds to the fires. As a person who got elected to our local school board based on facilities issues, I just cannot understand why nobody seems to consider schools as critical infrastructure, both in our villages and our cities. And I'm very frustrated because we have got to have school bond debt reimbursement for the last several years. There is a huge list of facilities needs around the entire state. And I actually think that this is a piece we can move forward on immediately. And maybe that's a separate conversation. It doesn't seem to be part of the compact agreement in terms of the facilities. But the Department of Education already has a handle on the facility needs. And I think that would be a wonderful way to get moving because we need those facilities to be able to have safe places for all of our kids in every community. And we're having serious issues with the master. I'll talk to you separately about that. Thank you very much.
Well, I'm sure it will echo the importance of the facilities conversation too. And some of it has to do with the changing climate for the development of the program for us and what that's doing for runways, what it's doing for community buildings, what it's doing for houses, but also schools. And so you're absolutely right that the saving issue needs to get attention and we need to carve out better resources that can help out better runways condition and big infrastructure built this housing. And that's another stream of revenue that we need for the federal government to look at. But we're not asking the federal government to do more than they're required to do, but to create a spare and not exclude us for things that are going on in other parts of the country. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you. Representative Parks, you have a question?
Thank you, Jonathan Clare. I'm going to have a general question. The deadline, if this passes, the deadline would be about 7 months from update. Do we have an idea of which districts or which tribes are perhaps going to get those changes?
I'm not sure. 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 I'm not sure we're going to throw it a little bit later, but we did failure. So what we want to do, and make sure when we move ahead on any committee of the panel of the school, is that they're successful. Again, term failure is a failure. So I wanted to respect how hard those years have got the districts, the schools, the areas of mediation, and be the way forward.
Through the show, to respond to that, we have had different areas indicate interest in joining it, as in the one program, the sections of it. At this point, we don't want to prejudge which areas are ready to go. And now, in the testimony of the House on the Senate side, in the NAMA area, there was expressed an interest in that, we're ready to go. And what I was particularly interested in, no indication. They are very familiar with the compacting model, both on the health side and the ALA side. And they're one of the kind of mature compactor on the federal system. Those that are paying audits for a very time have worked out the bugs in their systems and working on it to get designation as mature compactors on the and they're one of them. So I think that we will have multiple areas. My hope is we'll have examples of really small, remote communities, as well as larger ones, and then there'll be some geographic spread in that rather state-run region, particularly in our distant territories. So, I think we have a host of people that are interested, and what we would envision is the Department of Education would have the process, would confirm which ones were selected, but the ones for other ones would be put into a here, ones that are on the scale of readiness, so we're ready to go as people are moving forward. And I think we'll find a lot of interest from people, but there are other people that say, we're not ready for this, we want to see how you test this out and see if we have the capabilities. Because people take it very seriously. This is about our children, the education system, and people are going to want to be careful and cautious on doing this. This is not going to be a nature of reaction. So what will the other people express a lot of interest, but this may not be able to see others do. Again, our experience with the bare minimum of medicine and the health services, there's quite different types of compacting. There's local compacting, there's sub-regional compacting, there's regional, and even the last name, Global Health Consortium, is an all-Alaska compacting, all the tribes. So we don't know which area will be the ones that we select on the level. We will have some diversity on that, so we will have different experiences going forward and bring back to the legislature. But again, this is exploratory. We are focused on building a solid legal foundation for doing this and analyzing from the federal side. And we want to be very cautious and careful because we understand this could be really, really positive. And we don't want anything to. this falls through. So we're not looking at turning this back in time and doing what the interval used to be. What we're doing is saying this is a living relationship that is forward-looking, that is intended to benefit giving people and giving children out there. And let's bring it current. Let's focus on those areas. In particular, on the federal side, I'm going to be asking them to help testify, asking them for support and additional curriculum development, incorporating indigenous knowledge into curriculum. There are some amazing efforts going on there, but we made that much more robust and more areas on that. That is important because what that does is the curriculum allows the teachers to be able to have the baseline information to do their jobs and have the confidence that a lot of these things have been brought through. The other thing is this thing that needs to happen besides facilities on that is teacher development and preparation on that. Often our teachers are the ones that are overworked and all these demands put on them. And in this day and age, we want our teachers to be superstars and have everything at their disposal to be able to do their jobs and not worry about that in our communities. And not have the remoteness of our communities be something that discourages them and makes them want to move on to other things in their part. So we hope this will also be an effort that is done right that will help in teacher retention and teacher experiences in our communities, where we really are creating some interesting new models that are collaborative, that are used the best thinking, and I think so much best for the children. So.
There is some sort of written guideline where we're going with this system so far. I'm sorry, I have not read the documentation that's in it.
Well, I'm going to turn this around to some of the students. The district nobody in the building, lots of schools have been trying to make it to this. At this point, we're not requiring it. We're trying to find out what works best. So we're trying to get people to come together and talk about this list. So, for example, I think the students made it clear that there's people on the systems that can take education forward in our tribal communities in terms of assistance of buildings with construction, but also providing with teachers. Now, there's no intention at this point, I can't pay attention to the language of the year. As we're writing this, teachers are very hard on talking about all the rules that we're going to move forward with education. We found that
Thank you, Co-Chair DeLocke and staff.
representative to have with you. Do you think there have been mentioned at all? Not to follow up on that last point yet, very separate, but this bill, all it does is hopefully send a message to the state board of education, to our federal tribes in our state, to go out, negotiate together, to go back to this legislature with a bill that looks at the model. So that this doesn't create the compact with whatever the staff is going to go out, figure out what they might be like, go back to us with the bill, then we would then negotiate, and that's also that would work. But that helps quite a lot. Furthermore, the documents for first promise get on a quarterly basis, as you mentioned, as part of the bill file. They may include your freight and dangers of your involvement on material that you have in handy. I can do it after this hearing. It's not on a sustainable on basis, so this is part of the public record.
Great. We appreciate that. We'll take some good information. All right, let's any more questions on this paper right now, because we do have Mr. Isaac on the line as well.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I am in support of this. I just want to make sure it does not, and I just, I believe, Ms. Kaker, I'm just saying this to Jake, I get your response, which I think I know what it's going to be, but I like how you said it can help all of our other schools as well, because right now, without momentum to adding more cultural relevancy, our schools, we see that from school boards. We are working on really the Marine Act incorporating a strong cultural component. We've been waiting for that to be done for quite some time to get SDS back over a week now, I believe, for the Marine Act. It's been very busy up there. And I just think it is our system really needs that. Right beside our web education system, anybody's knowing that we really need to be a part of the Alaska schools system of education for all of our kids. I think I love the book Scott Talking, how it talks about how we need to blend our Western ways and our traditional knowledge for our students, and that we will all be better for it. So I just really want to make sure that, there's no way to stop our efforts as school board members all across the state to be working on our importance of incorporating our traditional ways of knowing into our curriculums. And one thing on the board of documents that I have in my packet today, I'm probably talking to Mr. Isaac about this, but I just want to have to get this off the record for a second, this is no way, to track some of those efforts. And having said that, too, we do have a bill before us helping Hooper Bay that they had, we had to change. And we're working on the bill for their students to add some more funding for Hooper Bay, because this will be a critical piece, because we know when we need that in a smaller area and we have some children that were supporting in a different learning environment, it takes revenue. We don't want to take revenue away from our neighborhood schools who are operating to me and probably by just including an infusion of money to support this too. On the stage we have, and again, we're going into the weeds, but I just, they're important weeds. But I think our children are certainly worth it, and for very good reasons, we're going to be possibly, I think, investing more revenue. So I did have another question for Mr. Isaacs, but I would like to stop there on the comments here to just get hearing from Ms. Gifta on how she sees this working together with our all of our other schools.
My name is Kelly Gifta, the chair. Yes, well, there are some wonderful initiatives that are going on right now. This is not intended to stop anything from being written. This is just to open up another opportunity coming out of this pandemic and look at different ways to do things on that. And so we're doing this as a plus. That is not intended to be helpful to anyone or distracting to anybody. It's not focused and putting our brains together and working together and I'm doing well. Can you all hear me? Yeah, I'd like to mention that just to ask that she is. Hi, everyone. Can I share respectfully? My name is Joel Hussack. I'm the tribal liaison project coordinator for Alaska's Department of Education and Urban Development. It's great to see you all today. To begin, I just want to start off with a little bit about how we got to where we are today. And the conversation around compacting really started out for me personally when I was in kindergarten. And the conversations around this topic were happening before I even knew they existed. And that was a statewide document, which I know all of you have heard about, the Lexic Education Challenge, that really brought thousands of people together, tribes, legislators, parents, students, teachers, grandparents, and schools, a really representative voice from the state, a large number of people together to hone in on what are the challenges that Alaska faces for education and how do we meet the department's vision of excellent education for every student every day. And the findings from that were a group of people committee was formed specifically addressing community ownership of educational excellence. And the finding from that committee was that state tribal education compacting was the one mechanism that showed enough promise to make a change that committee was tasked to come up with a recommendation for. And that recommendation was then adopted by the State Board of Education as part of the five pieces of the Alaska Education Challenge. And the State Board then formed a subcommittee of the four members, there's three State Board members that serve on it, for which State Tribal Education Compacting Committee for the State Board. We've been meeting every month on compacting, and part of what when the State Board adopted that recommendation to pursue state tribal education compacting, is that compacting is a relatively new endeavor for the state of Alaska, but tribes have been compacting for decades. And so the state, we as a department, needed to learn about the ins and outs of what compacting was. The State Board had questions, and other public had questions, district had questions, superintendents had questions. So it's a way of convening public space to inform the department, the State Board, and the public on what questions are coming up and to provide information. The other piece that's very critical to the work is we partner with AFM, which has been an excellent partnership. I really appreciate Julie, especially for today, going first to be able to speak to the compacting and realizing that this work is compacting fundamentally as a relationship. It's not static. It's something that's dynamic. And it's fundamentally based on communication. It's able to flexibly respond to the needs that arise. And that's why it's such a powerful tool to do something like education. I remember I was speaking with my body about what this kind of looks like and why some of the answers don't seem so specific. You can imagine you have a five-year-old, and you ask, when are they going to buy their first car? When are they going to build a house? Are they going to live in the U.S.? Are they going to get married? How many kids are they going to have? When are they going to graduate college? What's their degree going to be in? You don't know all of those things when they're 5 years old. But you have a series of questions that you might want to answer. You might have a trajectory that you as a parent or a grandparent want to see them successful. And so you do things like you read to them. You take them outside to be private with them. You teach them how to do things. You teach them how to bake. You teach them how to fish. All those things. That's what compacting. We know what creates success for students. And we need to focus their energy on those things and allow for the dynamic response that we do for someone that may educate children or how we raise children. And I say that as a, what are those pieces that create success? And that's a part of what's come up in these committee hearings, both legislatively and with the State Board Compacting Committee, is Indigenous education models are what shows the largest percentages of improvement for students.
know that from an academic standpoint, when tribes and our native people are able to develop this curriculum, are able to teach those pieces, students learn better, and it's more efficient use of our funds for our students to have that kind of learning environment. And so compacting is a way to, as a system approach, to allow that kind of proven success to have a system that directly supports that, so that our students and our teachers are able to do that work with as minimal amounts of interaction as possible. And we look at what's been possible in healthcare for the amount of efficiency created and funds being used, and the outcomes that have improved. That's one of the pieces of healthcare you might ask, how is this successful? Has been a question that's come up frequently. And we look at life expectancy rates. We look at the number of the decrease in the amount of negative outcomes from services rendered. So how successful are surgeries, let's say. Those kinds of percentages of successful surgeries go up. Those kinds of life expectancy numbers are going up. In education, we might look at things like graduation rates or attendance. Those two pieces are really critical because they show that students want to be there. And I was giving a presentation with the last weekend at the reading symposium, and I really focused the talk on how do we have our students say yes to wanting to be in their learning space. And it requires an environment and a system that they see themselves reflecting and compacting as a way of doing that. And to get to compacting, I want to share where I started for me personally in this work with the state is talking with first language speaker grandmothers. That's the burden of the Indigenous people that I started with, and then we went out from there. And that tribal voice, that Indigenous voice, is really critical in informing this work, and that's what SB3 work does. It allows the tribes to be able to be at the table crafting what the legislature would see as what success in this topic looks like. And that's a critical piece that's needed in order for it to be a success. Now, the state can be at that table as well, but the school districts, the unions, so we'll be together to be able to do that work so that what the legislature is seeing is something comprehensively accounts for these voices in a way that has not been seen previously in our state. So to me, that's very exciting. It represents the voices from all of those different parties I just mentioned asking for that kind of convening. And that's why SB 34 is so meaningful. I've been asked before, why can't we just do this? And without legislation. The legislation sends a very clear signal from the state that aligns with what the department is saying, so that the tribes are coming to the table, there's trust, we're able to start at a very firm foundation that the state is committed to this work, because historically, in Alaska, there's not been the most positive relationship between tribes and public education. And so we're really taking that historical knowledge and informing this process as well. And so that's one of the reasons why this also is a strong stance and a needed piece of legislation to come up with a proposal so that we can speak to the specifics, we can know what needs to be changed, what might need to be removed, what might need to be added, and have very specific and clear answers to questions. And also bring up questions that we might not even thought of. And so those are the main reasons why the department is in favor of SB 34, why it seems like the right path to go on that aligns with what the state board has been working towards, and it aligns with the tribal voices that have been reaching out, and the educated voices that have been reaching out, and the parents and the students. That's the other voice that has been brought into this conversation, is that the Elders and Youth Conference hosting Elders and Youth workshops to ask them about what they want to see in their education. And one of the really meaningful quotes to me from that group is, they won't get rid of all the advisory, they won't get rid of Western education, but they would have space for that and for Native learning, language, and teaching. So it's really about an and process, not putting one above the other or getting rid of one or the other. It's about bringing both of those pieces to the table. in this just as much as all of our other voices have been before in this project. So today, after the development of questions, I appreciate the partnership with Becky and Julie for being able to help devise and make this work as well, and for the time to be with us today.
Thank you, Mr. Jonathan. Questions for Mr. Jonathan? That's all your props.
Well, thank you, Dr. Rowan. Just to comment, to set this up, the question. In the variants of the interior, for Box Mining Company has entered into an agreement with Technical Native Group to develop a mine. I've learned about it last summer, last August, started asking questions again. I was impressed with how well it was working. There is a learning proposal to follow their core on the public road. They want to use farm-related crops looking as being. And roughly in August, I said, well, we don't need to be involved in this. Do everything by the start of the show. We're going to take a second look. Sometime around a few months ago, the public became interested in that. It was a new thing to the public. And there was a huge adverse reaction to it, to their proposal. I think it would be helpful. I am intrigued by this, and I think it's something worth pursuing, but I think it would be helpful to get as much information as we have available at this point, and then digest it in some way that others would have to talk to other legislators, and then we have to talk to the public over the summer and fall if we want something done by the December. So I encourage you to take those additional steps like that. I know there isn't that all the details have worked out, but whatever we could get in place, otherwise I'm concerned that in January of 24 or May of 26, we'll have this one, we're going to make some potential blow-ups. Try and get the public to understand and be able to decide. Because if there's a lack of information, the answer, understandably, is no. So just a recommendation for that.
Thank you. I'm going to share Representative Parks and maybe describe a little bit of the processes that were pretty effective in putting in place to ensure that. If that's the way to get to that. Thank you, Joel, Department of Education, to the Care of Works. The processes that we put in place and working on actively standing up right now are those monthly meetings, which are public meetings that our people can call in and listen to. Every quarterly meeting for the State Board, there is an opportunity for public comment. The department has a web page that's specifically dedicated to St. Joe Education Compacting, which has a comment feature. And we're going to describe that as a comment box. It's a one-way form of communication. You put the comment in. And what we're working on right now is the reciprocal piece of that, where people can sign up for some type of newsletter communication where the department is blasting out information specifically on this topic. And those pieces are the ways that we've been working towards doing public engagement. So really every month there's an opportunity for information to go out in every quarter. There's public forum for information. My contact information is on that website. We've hosted tribal public meetings. So we've hosted meetings specifically targeted for tribal leaders, but also open to anyone in the public. this specific area. So I try to mix it up.
Sounds like they're fairly close to identifying the crimes that they want to be entered into the compact. I would encourage you to come up with something. I don't think we need to move the deadline forward to require something sooner. I'll give you all the time that you think you need for that. But if you could get it done sooner than December 31st, I think that would really help. Lots of people have time to think about this before the legislature, the next legislature begins. Whatever you know, as much of details as you can get, I think that will help this move on.
Thank you, Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman Stevens. I really appreciate she said that we're not teaching culture. This is not something studying schools to teach individuals of culture. It's teaching through our culture. That's a really important issue, and I appreciate Gina saying that. And I thank you very much for hearing this, but it is important. I hope you move forward as a stepping stone.
Thank you very much, Senator Stevens. I appreciate your patience and wisdom on this issue. I believe you are our professor of history, and you know your stuff, and I appreciate that you are the one shepherding this field through the process. And thank you, and I appreciate you being here. So, any other questions or observations? Well, thank you, Karen McDonald, and with you, Mr. Isaacs, and everyone who feels so to my part. I've been extending that first deadline. Later, in case tribes wanted to be part of the compact, and I'm sure we'll have to pick the five that do, but to be able to be, because I believe the deadline is 26, but it would be, say, and later, that more children in process, so again, that might be good speaking of deadline up earlier to put the application in, but I just want to be the medical thing. My question to Mr. Isaacs was that the state board is convening a tribal compact in the subcommittee, and how deeply have you looked into the compact in schools in Washington State? So we learned by what their process and where they are now, and maybe what they would have changed when they started.
I'm through the chair, Representative Story, Joel with the Department of Education. I appreciate the question. The short answer is yes, we have. And the long answer to explain what the findings are is that Washington State statutorily, what I've done is I've compared Washington State's equivalent Title 14. Title 14 is the last of statutes that govern education. And went through what they do in Washington, and we do in Alaska, and across reference them too, to see how we compare apples to apples versus apples to watermelon, and we really are comparing apples. apples to apples. So that's a good comparison for what we're talking about here in Alaska. Some of the things that they do a little bit different in Washington is they include more subject areas that require evacuation that they don't include in Alaska. So that's one of the big differences, is that they have a little bit more prescriptive or those kinds of topics that they cover and don't allow for students to have to go through graduate. From a tribal standpoint, we've done a similar process of that question you just asked. Ask your tribes, if you could go back in time, what would you do differently? How is it going now? And what they, from the tribal leader in school, the tribal education public school administrator standpoint, is they didn't crack the code on the teacher piece. So what happens when a teacher from the Washington State Public School System comes and teaches at the state tribal education compact school? And that kind of back and forth flow that they think about, our teachers who stay in our state that might move from district to district, what does that look like to move from a state tribal education compact school back to the Washington State school districts? And so what we're doing from lessons learned from Washington is bringing those stakeholders into the conversation from the outset. And those are some of the amendments that have been made and adopted to SB 34. So that's the prime largest piece of feedback that we received from Washington State was that area, and we have addressed that in SB 34. So it makes me feel confident about that piece. The other component is we're going slow to go really far. And that's one of the subtle differences between SB 34 and the state of Washington, is Washington State had their own elite education schools, the BIA schools, and 6 out of 7 schools have that, but they kind of just turned over not quite that simple, but they transitioned them into the second schools. Alaska doesn't have that same system. But one of the schools, Chief Kitsap Academy, is very similar to what we have in Alaska, where it's the tribe that built the building and infrastructure, educational infrastructure, and was really funding a lot of that work. And I thought that's similar to what we have in Alaska. So I've gone to Chief Kitsap Academy twice to see what they're doing in action. I've talked to council members from that tribe, and the other feedback from the academic side is they haven't fully realized the teaching through the culture piece. They're teaching in their language, they're teaching through their language, but they still see that even though they've been doing this for 7+ years, there's still room for growth in that teaching through the culture part. I think I bring that up as a healthy, realistic expectations and what it means for this complex school to start. Doesn't mean that immediately all of the change will be realized in one academic year. They have been working at this, they were one of the first schools that contacted, and they have seen improvement over time. They have seen graduation rates go up. They have seen more language. Their first language being taught, and students become more proficient at it, but it's growth over time. And they've made a lot of growth in a very short amount of time, but that's part of the message that they had shared with me that I think is very relevant to your question. It's when we're looking at what success looks like, and we have to consider that student learning takes time, and that it takes time to build these types of infrastructure, both academically, physically, and personnel. The other component that the State Board Compacting Committee has taken to respond to that piece of feedback from Washington State is the committee is looking at what does a full teacher licensure Indigenous teacher program look like. And that's work that in regulation right now can take place. And so those conversations have been taking place because we know we need excellent educators to do this work and to be our current needs. So this regulation, this teacher pathway that I'm talking about, is not exclusive just for compacted schools. It would be a full teacher licensure. And that's again lessons learned from Washington State, where if it only works for just the compacted school, that creates some problems. So if we make it to where it works for everybody, everybody succeeds. And so those lessons learned from Washington have really been guiding the work that we've been doing metrics need to be, what our regulations need to be, what our stakeholder engagement needs to be, and how can we define success. Now, we'll pause there and keep going down the list.
Thank you, Mr. Isaac. I'm excited to hear this. The thing that I'm thinking about this last hour is that we already have some schools and districts in Alaska that are teaching Indian native languages that have some of them for decades. I believe it's the Alaskan Public School District. When they reported to us here in the last couple of months, they told us that their kids didn't necessarily read proficiently by seventh grade, but by sixth grade they were doing really well. And then they graduated at a higher rate than anyone else in their district. And those kinds of results, I think, are really important to hold up. How will this tribal compact team work with our existing programs, like the program in Buffalo, the program funded language and cultural immersion program here in Chino, and I think the one in the Pottsville area? I'm not remembering exactly where they are, right, but they already exist, and we don't need to wait to see what's going on there. Is there a way to incorporate them into this process sooner than later as already established programs?
To the Chamber of Commerce and Department of Education, apologize for interrupting earlier because I think it's easier for teams to get the lectures to me. Thank you.
We are recessed at 9:15 a.m. Thank you all.